This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not just a water sport. I knew it.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
That's us, dude. Tom
Likas. Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7, the Tom.show. You can hear us at our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. It's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are, together again, you and me. And we are joined in this hour, as we are every Tuesday, by criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome.
Good afternoon, Tom.
How's it going?
So a little earlier today. Very exciting.
Well, yes.
I'm just really ultra jealous of you going to the game now.
Well, these things happen.
It's amazing, though. It absolutely blew my mind, sitting so close.
Yeah. I mean, you're literally two rows behind the dugout.
Well, I can only highly recommend it, you guys. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
How many games? Is going to be more, right?
There are going to be three games this week.
Wow. Are you auctioning all of them? Some of them?
No. Some of them.
All right.
Not all of them.
Well, it's a real opportunity. That's all I can say.
Well, thank you for that.
So I am doing a criminal today.
Yep.
And I have something unbelievable. It shows you, even at my age, you can learn new things and discover new things that you never knew. I think I have figured something very important out about life through this case. And when you hear the story, Tom, I would have loved to have had this guy on the show, but there was no way he was coming on. This is kind of a combination of every single thing that you can do wrong.
Wow.
So this is sort of the intersection between criminal law and family law, but this is definitely on the criminal side. So here's a guy who is in his 30s. He called me last week. He's a P1, of course, and loves the show, loves what we do.
Nice.
And this is the interesting thing, Tom. He swears, you know, that he really listens to you and he follows your rules and he's, you know, he has got all your old stuff. He's been listening for years, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we have a really unnatural thing in our world today, which is Facebook. And what's happened is that people are like, you know, when it's over, it's over. Somehow people are reuniting because of Facebook. And so here's a guy who gets contacted by this girl that he used to like in high school.
Right.
And, you know, like, that's something you're not supposed to do. That's why people used to get in trouble when they would go to high school reunions. They would, like, you know, you used to say, Tom, that the unresolved sexual tension gets resolved.
Yes.
Right. There you go.
That's right.
So, apparently, this guy got contacted via Facebook, you know, because you enter in, like, what school you went to and all that stuff, by one of his old classmates. And he always thought she was adorable, and he liked her, but they never hooked up or whatever. She was some kind of hot little cheerleader number, and she was into the football asshole and would never have talked to him in a million years. But now it's 15 or 20 years later, and he's looking a lot better because he's got a good job, and the football guy is in prison. So there you go. So they hook up, and they start dating, and he tells me that he's having the time of his life. He's having the hottest sex ever. Can't believe it. And it's so great. And within a few days of them hooking up, they're already talking about how much they love each other. And they're so devoted to one another. Now, first of all, she's a single mother.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So that's really the second thing. The Facebook thing is the first thing. But the second thing is she's a single mother. But I think the child is, like, older. The child is, like, you know, 16 or 17 or 18. So she's kind of, you know, out the door. So it's not like you're, you know, going to have this two-year-old that, you know, you end up having to pay child support for.
Right.
So that's not the end of the world. Then somewhere along the line, she says that she was involved with a guy for a number of years, which is not the father of the daughter, by the way, another guy. And she owes him a lot because he saved her life or something like that. But he's kind of got problems. And he ended up going to rehab and detox, and now he's in prison. Okay? But she's done with him. She's definitely done with him, but she still feels like, you know, kind of responsible towards him, or they're still close friends or something. Now, this is all, I think, centering around what we call one-itis. I think that the conceptualization that's changed, and this is my big criticism of marriage also, is one-itis. And one-itis is when you get too focused on one particular woman, and you get so wrapped up in her situation and her and being so devoted to her, which is sexy in a weird way, but it's also very dangerous because she can have all kinds of crazy baggage and issues, and if she dumps you or you can't see her anymore, it's going to be really crushing and heartbreaking. I mean, you know, essentially, Tom, what you talk about in terms of, you know, I guess you used to call it playing the field or whatever, but you used to say, you know, you call the girl, she's washing her hair, she's got her period, she's busy, go to the next number, you know? If you have one-itis, you're super focused on this one person. And that is something that can really, really trip you up. So this guy gets really focused on this girl, and right in the middle of being with her for about a month, the crazy guy, who is the true love of her life, by the way, gets released from prison. Okay? So now she goes to get him, and she tells our guy that there's nothing to worry about, that he's no threat to you, we're just friends. And so he lets her do it. He doesn't say a word. And this is, again, one-itis. This is the same kind of thing where I would have said to her, if you're going to be in touch with that guy, then I'm not seeing you anymore. I mean, would you tolerate that, Tom? That's ridiculous, right?
Of course not.
I mean, it's absurd.
Dad, by the way, I have a zero-tolerance policy. Pick him, pick me. But you can't have both. That's that. So if you like him, go with him. Thank you.
But remember, to have the strength to say that, to be able to, for your own self, have to have a zero tolerance policy, you've got to say those words and you've got to mean them. So that means that if that person calls your bluff, as it were, and she goes, well, I don't care, Tom, I'm going to go see him anyway, then you have to be able to say, well, then goodbye. Give me your key. You know, forget it. So that's usually very hard for people to do. So in any case, she goes to get the guy from jail. She doesn't hear from... He doesn't hear from her for a couple of days, and then he gets a text message from her, and it says, never contact me again. Okay? Now, I'm reminded of a phone call you got, I think, right?
Yep.
The woman that wanted you to marry her, you weren't serious enough.
I got two calls like that.
There's one in particular, maybe both, but as I recall, she said, I'm in love with a guy now, and you were never going to be serious about me, and so never call me again.
It was after she came to me with, like, not exactly an ultimatum, but close to it. She essentially put me up against the wall and said, what am I to you? Am I your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Am I your fuck buddy?
What am I?
And when I didn't give the right answer, it just took like 3 days. On a Friday, she went out with a guy, and then they stayed in her apartment all week and fucking presumably. And so Monday, that's when I got the call saying, don't ever write me again.
That's gotta be love,
huh? Don't ever call me again. And clearly, he was within earshot of this conversation.
Right, so he sat down with her and made her call you.
Right.
Or maybe she was proving it to him or whatever.
Yeah, he listened in on this
right,
call.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the same thing. This guy concludes that she didn't really send that text. That it must have been the guy who sent it, or that if she did send it, then the guy made her do it, you know?
Right.
And so even though she said, never contact me again, he's contacting her, and he's calling her, and he's texting her, and she's not answering, and she's not returning messages. And so after about 2 or 3 days of many attempts to reach her, he gets her on the phone, and she says very curtly, things have changed. I'm dealing with things right now. If I want to talk to you, I'll call you, but please don't call me anymore unless I call you.
Right.
Okay. So again, he concludes that this can't be true, that this was manipulated, she's under pressure. He thinks he's Captain Save-A-Ho. He's going to rescue her, okay? So he starts showing up at her house, at like early in the morning, okay? Right. He's knocking on the door. He's phoning, texting. He apparently, over the course of 2 weeks, contacted her several hundred times.
Oh, my.
In various different ways. Now, I know you want to call him crazy, okay? But I don't think he's crazy. I think that that is one-itis behavior. I think that's where guys, you know, get some really good ass and they can't believe it. You know, you're never going to get it again. And he had this idea that she was in some kind of trouble, which probably is correct. I think she is in some kind of trouble. She's got a crazy boyfriend. But what, you know, what he's forgetting to recognize is that she wants to be with that guy. And she picked up the guy from prison. I mean, you know how many women I've met, Tom, I swear to God, who talk about their last two boyfriends being in prison and being arrested and stuff? You said this thing about how if you say to a woman, you know, what was your ex-husband like? And she'll always say, oh, he was an asshole, right? So that's got to make you conclude that women must like assholes, right?
Well, especially there's a pattern of behavior. I mean, they'll say my husband was a jerk.
Yeah.
My boyfriend was an asshole. My baby daddy's an idiot.
Right.
Well, what do all those guys have in common? Each one of them has fucked her. And in many cases, we haven't. The other guys
have.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, what message can you draw from that?
Yeah.
If you're a dick, you're getting in. And if you're a nice guy who's concerned,
you're
going nowhere. You're going to have skid marks. That's it.
Well, that should tell you something right off the bat. The reality has to be in that context. I mean, let's face it, right? That what she's telling you on some level is that this is really what she wanted. But he got this thing where he literally had said to her, you know, I love you. She had reciprocated that. And they were only together for a short time, but it was very intense emotionally. And obviously she was from his teenage years, so he had known her for like, you know, 15 or 20 or more years. So it seemed like more intense than it really was. But the real bottom line, and this is something that's agonizing for guys, is that when she had to really choose, see, women will string guys along, but when she was faced with the real, I presume, ultimatum from this other guy, the prison guy, and he said to her, you're either with me or you're with him. She chose the prison guy. That's very hard to accept. When you're a good guy and you've been with a woman for a month or whatever, and you've had great sex and you really get along and you're saying to each other how much you love each other and you're planning your future together, and the reality is that she will get rid of you in 15 seconds flat for a degenerate, a scumbag, a guy with a criminal record. This guy was also supposed to be, of course, heavy into drugs and all kinds of self-destructive things. And, of course, you see, this is the part that guys have to understand. Of course she chose him. What would have been an anomaly would have been if she didn't. That would have been really bizarre. If she had stuck with you and said no to the crazy guy, that would have been out of this world.
Right.
No one would have believed it.
Yep.
Okay? So, let's face it, okay? Let's just be realistic here, all right? So, in the end, she got a restraining order against him, and she pressed criminal charges against him, and the reality is it looks really bad. Now, there are cases of restraining orders where there's a question of degree, where you called 5 times or 10 times, maybe that's too many times, but the woman never definitively said, don't call me. Here, there's a text message, and it's extremely specific. It says, do not ever contact me again. Now, let me tell you, when a woman says that to you, that's big, okay? There it is in black and white. They also spoke on the phone, which is not documented, but she told him, leave me alone. I'll contact you if I want to talk. I've got some real issues to work through. So him and his obsessive heartbreak, he really dug himself a very deep hole. And he's going to get a restraining order most likely against him, civil, which is going to make him lose his job. That's a very serious price to pay. You also lose your right to own a gun, and it's also what comes up on the computers with the police and everything. And she's pressing a criminal charge of stalking and harassment. And that's a misdemeanor. It's probably a first offense, so he's probably going to just be on probation for several years. But that, again, is a very high price to pay. Now, the weird thing is, I really believe this, Tom. I think in our society, even today, even with feminism and all the other stuff and changes in our culture, if you look at popular movies, they still show this. They still show this disinterested woman or semi-interested woman or kind of ambiguous, you know. He's all right. Who cares? And the guy's crazy about her, right? And in the movie, he, like, follows her and he, like, gives her flowers and he, like, gets on a plane and flies across the country to see her. And she's disgusted at first, but ultimately he wins her over and she sees all these gestures as very chivalrous. And she says, oh, what a sweet guy. He keeps sending me cards and flowers. You know, the first couple of ones she throws away. She tells him, piss off, leave me alone, I've got a fiance. But he shows up at her wedding and she goes away with him in the end. Okay, in reality, my friends, that is not going to work. It's not ever going to work. And this is really important. Guys will say, well, is there a chance? Is there a chance? There's no chance, okay? There's no way. There was a great line in I think it was The Mask, where he says, Jim Carrey's character says, is there a chance that, you know, a girl like you could ever go out with a guy like me? And she says, slim to none. And he goes, so you're saying there's a chance?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I wouldn't take those odds. I wouldn't bet on those odds. And I think, you know, you're right, Tom. I think that Hillary Clinton is going to be our next president, which in one respect I think is a good thing that we have a woman president. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's historic. I wish it was a different woman, to be honest with you. In fact, any other woman would have been okay. I wouldn't have minded picking a woman out of the phone book, I think, at random would have been better than Hillary. But if anything, the rules and laws with respect to protecting women and girls are going to get more and more intense. There's more of this college stuff where they have these protections where supposedly girls are being exploited and raped all the time, which is bullshit, but whatever. I think that when you look at this situation, it's not just this sexy, funny scene from the movie. Guys that do these crazy things that are portrayed as romantic, in real life, it's never going to work with girls, ever. And we're giving you a false narrative. But the problem is today, she's going to press charges against you. And if you think that your sweetheart or whatever, you know, really loves you deep down and she won't press charges, you are wrong, okay? When a woman has turned her back on you, she is done with you, okay? And you're going to be in court and she's going to be giving you this stone-faced, vicious look of hatred, okay? And I've seen it, okay? I'm going to have a guest on next time who we did his divorce, and he was with his wife for a very long time. And we were sitting there, and the looks, because I was sitting next to him, the looks that she was giving him, I mean, it could have stopped the clock. I swear to God. You've never seen a woman that hated someone so much, and she blamed everything in her life that was wrong on him. And so what I think guys have to recognize is that this isn't fun and games anymore. This is serious business. And, you know, you're going to have some romance, and you're going to have this focus on a woman and one-itis and all this other nonsense. And you're going to end up with something that is going to be on your record for years to come that is going to totally mess you up. It's going to screw up your career goals. It's going to stop your ability to get jobs. It's going to mess you up in 100 different ways that you never anticipated. It's crazy. But you see how when you're having those emotions and that sexual stuff that you're not thinking clearly. And you have to resist that. The way that guys end up getting married too quickly to a woman they don't know well enough, or in these circumstances where they give away half their stuff and they screw up their lives, very often is guys tell me now when they're hiring me and they need a divorce, I don't know what I was thinking. I can't believe I acted that way. I can't, you know, they have a whole list of reasons that they talk about how they were being irrational. And the truth is, when you feel love and you have that sex connection with someone, you do have a real cocktail of chemicals hitting your brain. I mean, right, Tom? There's no doubt about it. And you know, talking to these guys, there's no talking them out of this stuff.
I know. They learn the hard way when it's all over.
But they're affected by drugs, Tom. And I don't mean they're taking drugs. I mean natural drugs.
You mean testosterone.
Everything, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, not only that, you get a whole bunch of things.
Endorphins.
Yeah, endorphins and dopamine and God knows what. And you're like, you know, high as a kite. And that's why the marriage places in Vegas are open 24 hours. Because when you're stupid and you're in that mode, you're not thinking clearly, that's when the woman's got to rush you to the chapel.
Right.
Because if you sleep it off, you might wake up in the morning with a new attitude. Anyway.
Yeah, and that's the worst thing that could happen to those girls if we woke up.
Yeah.
In the middle of this nightmare.
You go, you aren't quite as hot as I thought you were.
Right. Exactly. And that's why guys need to have rules. The reason we do Likas 101 is because the guys need rules. Because if they don't have rules, they will let everything slide. They'll say, well, she's the exception, or
yeah,
she's the franchise
player. That's
one-itis
again. That's the same feeling. That's the franchise player.
Mm-hmm.
No, not my girl. No, I got a unicorn. Okay?
Right.
You don't. You don't. You really don't. I'm sorry. I mean, you might like her in a million different ways. I'm not saying things couldn't somehow be whatever okay, but you have to be careful because the reality is that she's not. Okay, the behavior of women is based on hundreds of thousands of years of evolution, and you do not have this one magical exception. You just don't. There's no such thing.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. It's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs answering your calls about, well, it could be just about anything. I mean, let's face facts. Many of our listeners have been pulled over, stopped, DUI accusations, drug accusations, who knows what. I just saw a story from up north, from Lompoc, about a guy who was being accused of all kinds of marijuana infractions. Even though under certain conditions, if you have medical conditions, you can get a license and have marijuana. But it doesn't mean the cops aren't still looking. It doesn't mean people like you aren't being pulled over.
Well, people can't believe it, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
People call me and they say I got arrested for marijuana possession. What the hell's going on? The cops wouldn't listen.
Right. All right. But by the way, before we go to the break and then our first call here.
Of course.
So what do you do in a situation like that? There you are. You got your card. Like, I got my card, and I've got my bag with the RX symbol on it and stapled shut, and it's taped shut.
You just catch it coming right out of the store.
And by the way, the place I go is in the seediest part of this area that I can possibly imagine, okay? You go over there. I park my Tesla on a
dark
street.
You hope it's still there when you come out.
I pop inside, and you know, it looks like a bunch of gangbangers and dopers in there. You go in. Seriously, so I can't imagine there isn't somebody every now and then who's going to be watching that store. Now,
yeah.
I would never and never have. I will never use this product while I'm driving or before I'm driving. I just won't do it. But, all right, so let's say we have a listener who is in a situation like that. They've been pulled over. They've been stopped. They've got, they went and got the card. They went to the doctor. They got their picture. They got their number on the card, their license number. What should that person do if they get stopped?
You shut up.
Yeah.
You don't argue. I don't know where people got this idea that it's a good idea to argue with police. I just don't understand that, okay? This whole drama that you're exercising on the side of the road is ill-advised, okay? You want to argue, I'm going to argue with the cop. We do it in court, okay? So, first of all, by the way, the people in the seedy part of town that are looking at the marijuana store are not interested in robbing you. They're interested in robbing the store. Okay.
Oh, I understand. I'm not worried about the seedy people in the store.
I'm with you.
I'm worried about the cop who's parked half a block away.
I got you.
Watching who's going in and out of the store.
I'm telling you right now, you come out, if the cop pulls you over or whatever, you show him your prescription. You say, I've got a prescription, officer. I don't think there's a problem. And he goes, you know, turn around, whatever. I'm putting the cuffs on you. You say, oh, thank you, and, you know, officer, I'm very interested in the Fifth Amendment. Have you read it lately? And shut up, okay? Because the bottom line is you're going to be okay. Even if you have smoked when you were driving, there's all kinds of things I can do to fix that also. It turns out, you know, alcohol is 0.08%. Marijuana doesn't have a set amount. Nobody knows the legal toxicity or whatever of intoxication of marijuana. So there's a lot of play there. And there are definitely issues between the state government and the federal government. For example, the fact that you have legal marijuana in places like Colorado or Washington State, it's still illegal on the federal level. And so you might not be talking to a regular cop. This might be some kind of federal something or other. Maybe you're at a post office. You're dealing with some federale. You don't know what the story is. But you shut up and you call me when it's all done. Okay? That's the bottom line. Because anything you say can and will be used against you.
Right. I learned that from Jack Webb, by the way.
The guys always say to me afterwards, yeah, I remember you said that, and I remember you talked about the Fifth Amendment, and I learned it in school, but you know what? I still told the cop the whole story. I'm like, great. What the hell did you do that for?
Oh, my.
Hey.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with your phone calls for criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. He's right here in studio. He's here to answer your calls, answer your questions. All you need to do is dial in and talk to him right now. The number is 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. Call Adam right now at 901-3000-TOM. 866
free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. WWDJ Hackensack. At 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Wanna Johnny, 97 WWDJ, Hackensack.
WWDJ, Hackensack.
Oh my God, I'm thinking about Wanna Johnny today. Because every time I have to say WWW, I think of WWDJ.
So WWDJ, Hackensack.
Worst set of call letters of all time.
That's the father of Cuba Gooding Jr., the actor?
The singer, not the disc jockey.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Everybody, that was his dad?
Everybody Plays the Fool.
That's a great song.
By The Main Ingredient. And if you listen carefully, you don't even have to listen that carefully, Cuba Gooding Sr. sounds exactly like Cuba Gooding Jr. They sound exactly the same.
Yeah. Hmm? I had no idea.
You didn't know that?
Well, I know both of them. I know the song and I know the actor, but I didn't realize they were connected.
They are father and son.
Far out.
Yep. Well, here we go. 901. I think I found a YouTube video where Cuba Gooding Jr. sings that song.
All right.
Interesting. 901-3000-TOM. We're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs and your calls at 901-3000-866. Here comes John in Palm Springs. John, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's up?
So I was just wondering, when I'm driving, I have a dash cam camera in my car.
Yeah, me
too. It's recording my speed and what's in front of me, you know?
Yeah, I have one too, definitely. Good idea.
So my question was, if I, let's say I stop at the stop sign and I get pulled over, a cop tells me I didn't stop at the stop sign, should I tell him I'm recording and I know I stopped, like trying
no,
to get out of it?
No. This is what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about this. Listen to me, please, please. You don't fight with the cop on the side of the road. Okay? That's suicide.
Yeah.
It's just not a good idea. Okay? The most you want to get into with an officer on the side of the road is, you know, hey, officer, I really think I stopped. Okay? No, you didn't. Okay, you know, could you give me a break? Okay? But if he's sitting there writing up the ticket and he's made up his mind, you don't bitch with him talking about, hey, you know what, stupid? I've got this recorded on my dash cam and you're going to look like an idiot in court. Ha, ha, ha. Okay? Just you don't go down that road. And I'm sorry. I think if you're a member of a minority, even more so. Okay? There's definitely prejudice. The cops want to kick your ass, okay? And so to start getting into one of these, you know, quoting the rule books, and you're not supposed to do this, and you're not a good cop, and you're an idiot, and you're prejudiced, and it's really, really foolish, okay? I can make all those arguments for you in court. If you've got that video, we're going to show it to the judge, and you're not going to get the ticket, okay? But this is one of the realities of living in modern society, is that sometimes you're going to get pulled over. And sometimes I don't get a ticket for a year or 2 years, and then I get two in a row, okay? And that's just one of the costs of doing business, of living life and driving a car. And you have to just, you know, accept it. And the reality of this country, it's so wonderful that you don't have to speak. You know, you have the Fifth Amendment. You have the right to remain silent. You know, you have to exercise it. So like I said, with respect, you always, you know, officer, how you doing? Here's my license. Why are you pulling me over? Oh, you think I went through that stop sign? I'm pretty sure I stopped. Oh, you don't think I did? Okay, can you give me a break? Okay, you don't want to give me a break? Okay, fine. Sign for the ticket. That's it.
Okay, and I don't have to tell him I'm recording or anything like that. Just stay quiet and
call
you later on.
It is, yeah, absolutely. It is legal to record anything that you can see. So anything that's out in the open, that's in public, right? That's why, you know, they take pictures of celebrities, right, when they're walking down the street, right? If you're in a public area, if you're driving and you are recording your trip, you have a camera that faces forward or backward or whatever, it's totally legitimate. And that's also why when police are doing things, you know, the people are being arrested or they're getting tased or whatever, it's legal to record that. There have been cops that go over to the guy and break his camera or whatever. You're not allowed to do that. It's totally legitimate if they're in public and they're doing something of a public nature, and particularly police because they're public servants and they're acting in the public interest supposedly, then you can whip out your camera phone and record the whole thing. And as long as you're not interfering, so in other words, if you're standing in the way of an ambulance, that's not good. But if you're not interfering and you can record anything that the public can see that you can see, you can tape. So the idea of having this camera, there's actually a nice camera that I have that you charge it up, you put in one of those little memory chips, which is like, you know, 64 gigs. That's enough video for the rest of eternity. And the camera actually activates by motion. So when the car is moving and when the things are, you know, happening, the camera turns itself on. And then when you park or whatever and there's nothing going on, the camera turns itself off. Amazing. And that wasn't more than $40, I think.
Yeah, I have a GoPro camera that I wasn't using, so I just put it up here and recording. Yeah, I was because I figured that if I tell him I'm recording, then maybe he'll back off and don't give me a ticket. But then I was also afraid that he might try to take the memory drive and just take my evidence from me.
I don't think he's gonna take it. He has no reason to seize it from you. But you can't get into this thing. It's like one of those things in baseball or something, you know, arguing with the umpire, you know. And you can show them the video, and it doesn't make any difference, you know? Just live your life, mind your own business, do your thing, and it's your little secret, which is that if you get this ticket and you know the cop is wrong, beautiful. You're going to give me that video, and I'm going to use it for you, and I'm going to get you dismissed. That's great.
Sounds good.
All right. John, thank you. Appreciate the call.
You don't argue with cops, Tom.
No, ever.
Sorry.
Ever.
That's just a bad idea.
It's when you bring in your defense team. That's what you do.
Sorry to interrupt.
901-3000, Tom, that is our telephone number. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs here in studio answering your questions. And you can call and talk to Adam right now. 901-3000, Tom. Call Adam immediately. Get in here. It's 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. With criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs in studio answering your calls. Before we forget, Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. I'm also on Facebook. And you can send me an email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, there you go. 901-3000-TOM. That is our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM to talk to Adam Sachs. Here is Brandon in Anaheim. Brendan in Anaheim. You're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Brandon. How are you?
Very good. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
How are you?
Hey, Adam, how
are
you doing?
I'm cool. How's everything?
Everything's good. Just at work here trying to get some shit done. But I feel like calling you guys and trying to get some legal advice here.
What's going on?
Back in 2005, I was arrested for possession with intent to sell of marijuana.
Okay.
It was kind of a shitty situation. I won't get into further details because it's kind of a long story. But long story short, I want to reestablish my rights as a gun owner. What happened with my case is it was eventually dismissed, so it was reduced to a misdemeanor. And I was wondering if there's...
It wasn't dismissed. It was you kind of pled it down to a misdemeanor.
I pled bargain, yeah.
Okay.
So it was reduced to a misdemeanor.
Okay.
And I was wondering if there's still a way I can establish my gun rights.
Absolutely, absolutely, of course. It's a little bit challenging. There are a couple of things that we have to work on. But
okay.
The one thing that is critical, and it's the first thing I would do for you, is to get the case expunged. I presume it was in California?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Basically, I need some information from you, like, you know, the date, the case number, whatever. If you don't have it, we can get it off the computer, and they can dig these things up from the archives. And
perfect.
And I've done this for a lot of people, and it just is it's a beautiful thing to do. I basically go in, and I'm asking the court, and this is because it's many years ago when you've concluded everything, you paid all the fines, whatever you had to do, and they literally go back as though it never happened. So your conviction and your plea are overturned and dismissed, okay? And you come out fresh as a daisy. You literally, in other words, if they ask you, were you ever convicted of a crime, you can actually say no. Because
it's cleaned retroactively. My attorney actually got my conviction expunged or whatever.
Oh, he did?
So, like, whenever I get pulled over, almost immediately after my case was...
I don't know. I need to see your papers. But normally it would be at the conclusion of your probation.
Yeah. It was actually at the conclusion of my probation when everything was said and done. Everything was done.
Okay.
And, so I actually went to the courts, and they put me through this whole runaround, and I figured it would just be much easier to have an attorney do it for me.
Yeah, sure. I'll check it out for you. I'll verify it. I said, if you already did it, that's great. I think getting old matters expunged is fantastic. It really changes a lot of people's lives. So if yours is already done or if it's not done, we can do it. And then the second part is making a proper application showing your rehabilitation. Which means that whatever nonsense you did, in your case it's marijuana, it's no big deal, but like let's say you had committed a violent crime or something. I had a guy who actually had stabbed someone. And it it was something he did when he was young and stupid. It was like 20 years ago. And we wrote a letter and we explained, you know, it was a youthful indiscretion. And now he's married and he has kids and he's a good guy. And he made a mistake and he... apologized to the guy and the one he stabbed, and the guy forgave him apparently. So we explained this whole story, and in the end, he was able to get his gun permit. So, you know, it takes a little bit of doing, but we can do it.
Okay, and I actually tried to get a pistol because I was under the impression that everything was clean and I was good to go. And the DOJ actually sent everything back saying that there was still something on my record. Is that what I need to get fixed?
I think so. I mean, they must be holding something against you.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing else after that. I've been completely clean after.
All right.
And I was 18 when that happened, so it's been 12 years since I've had any kind of.
Well, 18, of course, but 18 is an adult, so it counts, you know?
Right.
Normally speaking, what I do in a lot of cases like yours, when people get rejected for things or they like can't get a job or whatever because, you know, so these unspecified reason. What I'll do is I'll do a background check on you. So in other words, the kind of thing that I would do when I'm investigating a case, I do it to you, my own client. And I'll show it to you, of course, and it's a few pages, and it talks about all the different jobs you've had and all the places you've lived and all this kind of stuff, and it shows whether you have any criminal convictions or any other citations of any kind. Any convictions, anything that's outstanding or anything else. And so when we do a background check on you, we are actually seeing what the Justice Department saw.
Oh, okay.
So we can figure out, you know, what they were upset about, because it must be something.
Right. Yeah, there's got to be something there.
And whatever it is, we fix it up and you're good to go.
All right, Brendan, I'll put you on hold and Dean will hook you up with Adam. And then you guys can figure it all out.
I'll tell you something. Tom, I went to a gun store. And in the San Fernando Valley in California, and the line was out the door. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Gun sales are up hundreds of percent now. People are going nuts because they're thinking that they better buy it now before guns are starting to be, you know, more restricted in the years to come.
Let's say hi here to Steve in Glendale on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Steve.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, of course. What's
so,
up?
My situation is, you know, I picked up a fix-it ticket months ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was for my taillight was out. I didn't notice my taillight was out. I was in Downey.
Okay.
And I also had, like, a protector for my license plate. You know, people try to, like, steal your registration, like the sticker.
Yeah.
So I had this, and I didn't know, but apparently you can't have, like, some type of, like, shade on it or whatever. And I honestly didn't even notice.
On the license plate?
On the license plate, you know, that cover.
Do you know what that's actually about? There are things that you can do, apparently, to make your license plate difficult to photograph. And so when people are going to those red light cameras and stuff, if you put some kind of a film or some kind of a spray on the plate, when the red light camera takes a picture of your car, it doesn't get a good picture of the plate. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, what they do is they spray this glossy stuff on the license plate. But by the way, I understand it's illegal to use it.
Yes.
But how would anyone know if you were using it?
Right.
They sell it there at AutoZone. I literally took the first two I saw.
Good old AutoZone.
Like, okay. You know? And I told the officer, I was like, you know, sorry, you know, I wasn't aware.
That's
and he was
funny.
Like, yeah. So he gave it to me. He gave me this fix-it ticket. And
That's funny.
A few days pass by, and I go to Southgate Courthouse and have them, you know, sign off on this fixed ticket. Well, I tried calling and paying it off then and there, like calling the
so
the
this
court
is the old, this is the old one that you forgot about.
So this is one that I forgot about, and I ended up losing the ticket and totally forgot because I had
come
paid
on,
a fee
dude,
to
come on
them. Yeah, it's totally
you gotta
my
be
fault,
a little
you know?
More organized. Come on.
Yeah. Definitely. So, I mean, I
so
was
you,
literally trying
so
to pay
you forgot about it, and then you went to take care of it, and you lost it.
I took care of it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I took care
this
of the
this is like
signature
the dog ate my homework or something?
Exactly. But I have the receipt, and so now I have a court date coming up, and I'm asking myself, kicking myself in the ass,
yeah.
And I'm shitting bricks because now this thing is, like, you know, running up to $300. It's, you know, it's not covered, so I have this receipt, and I'm just wondering, like, is that going to be enough? Is that just up to the judge to decide, or is that something that I can fight? Like, if I know that I had it signed off by an officer.
So you okay? So what's the question now? You don't have it, or you do?
So I only have the receipt. I don't have the actual the ticket with the signature. Because the officer signs the ticket
right.
itself, right? So I lost the ticket.
I
got to
tell you, I understand. I got to tell you that one of the things that I do and a lot of lawyers do is I volunteer as a judge, okay? So that means that like once a month I go into court and I do this kind of stuff that you're talking about. I do traffic stuff and you know, some routine things. And I literally sit in the judge's chair and I'm a judge that day. It's called being a judge pro tem. And I get a lot of guys like you who tell me a long story. You know what I mean? And they say, I got it, but I lost it, and I found it, and they signed it, but I can't prove it. And I got to tell you, it's a shame, you know? I mean, the judge is, you know, usually has a good attitude. He's not trying to ruin your life. But at the same time, you know, you sound screwy. You sound unorganized, you know? It sounds like like your story maybe isn't true. So you got to be careful of that, you know? You want to come off like a professional and say, okay, here's the document, here it is, here's my copy, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it sooner or whatever. And, you know, they probably gave you a penalty. A lot of times you can get that reversed if you just ask nicely, you know?
Yeah.
So I would try to bring in as much as you can. If it was your bad taillight, bring a picture of the taillight being fixed. If it's this thing with the license plate, take a picture of that. And you can show to the judge, look, I've got these photographs. I fixed it. I'm sorry. I lost the paper, but I know I took care of it. and the fine has been doubled and tripled. Can you please give me a break? And, you know, dress nice. You'll be okay.
Yeah, I've never had any traffic ticket or anything
I got to tell you, it's the same like dealing with the police. I think that if you go to court, you show a little bit of respect to the court. You're organized, you know. You've got all the things. If he asks you, can you show me a picture? Yep, here's the picture. You know, I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. And you know, I want to say, like, I almost, you know, I'm thinking about this whole situation. And I almost want to say, like, I'd rather have gotten a ticket for that day rather than a fix-it ticket, because I have to go.
Yeah, what a pain in the ass, right?
You know, yeah, it's like you have to take 2 days off. With this shit.
It's like a 10-step process.
Yeah. And so it was almost like cruel. It was like, really, man, you should have just given me the ticket. You made me go, you know, up and down and get this fixed, and then my dumb ass loses it and makes it even a bigger mess. But
right.
Anyways, I appreciate the thoughts.
Absolutely.
Steve, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it. Adam, tell us again how people can get in touch with you.
Well, you can call me toll-free at 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. And email me, adam@adamlawyer.com.
And don't forget, anytime you miss Adam, there's always going to be another appearance. He's here every Tuesday, beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Coast to coast, around the world, and across the universe, this is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
The guy reportedly had his penis removed after allegedly getting it stuck in a bottle.
Well, that will happen.
He tried to fuck the bottle. It got stuck. It essentially died in the bottle.
Yeah. Man fucked the bottle and the bottle won.
Right. It turned black and started to decay, according to the Daily Mail. This is a dude from Honduras. He's a 50-year-old guy.
Yeah, he had a case of the black penis in the bottle.
They call it death and necrosis of the penis. When he arrived 4 days later, he had to amputate the penis completely because it was, according to them, completely dead. It was a dead penis.
Yes.
don't be fucking bottles. It's just really stupid.
Imagine explaining that one.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the insurance company write up on this one.
Yeah. Surgeons apparently found 53 sacks of cocaine in the belly of a man who collapsed at the airport.
Yeah, that's the place is Miami International Airport. You know, I'm sure they find a lot of awesome stuff. This is no different.
Yeah. It's apparently more than a pound of coke.
Well, let me break it down for you in the real cocaine's terms. It is a half a key of coke.
All right.
I do my measurements differently when it comes to cocaine. But you're right. It's a pound. Yeah. I look at it like a half.
Why bother with the pounds?
Half a key.
Right. What do you have, little condom kind of things, little balloons?
It looks like little balloons.
Yeah.
And he collapsed, and they knew something was wrong, and that's when it surfaced.
Sure,
that,
we've seen this time and time again. There's nothing more dangerous than putting a pound of coke in your belly and, you know, hoping that those balloons hold up. Well, fucking a bottle comes first, and then that.
And then that. I often ask my friends if they're holding. If you'd asked that guy, boy, was he ever holding.
Right. And then you got to sit there and wait for him to shit it out. That's the problem. Kendall Jenner says she loves her tits being out. It's just one of her things, she says.
I'm not going to stop her.
Right. She's just got a thing for, like, letting people see her titties.
Fine with me. Have at it, Hoss.
All right. I'm not arguing with her either. The people of France are quite angry after a television host kissed a woman right on the breast on live television. There was a... It was an attempt to do the longest live TV show, and they got to 35 hours into it before they quit. But during which there was a skit being done about Kim Kardashian being robbed in France, and afterwards the guy's supposed to kiss the chick, but the chick turns away, and he just goes and leans down and kisses her right on the tit.
He kissed the tit.
Yeah.
He kissed the tit. KTT.
Okay.
kiss the tit.
Yeah. And finally, Phil Collins. Remember Phil Collins?
This is the best story of the day.
Admits he used to fall over drunk in front of his children when he was battling booze. He used to just tip over. And the idea of Phil Collins tipping over on his little fat ass and not being able to get up in front of his children is pretty funny.
Well, our friend lost his hair and then apparently lost his ability to stand upright.
Right.
I don't know if it's because he heard, you know, I can feel it coming in the air tonight for the 10 millionth time. Most people tip over at that point.
Bingo. Plenty more newsforguys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
From WWDJ Hackensack.